I mentioned at the beginning that we have this little problem, this little drama. All the precious vessels, the chalices, the ciboria, the monstrance, are all, and the key to the tabernacle are all kept under lock and key. So they're all locked up, and we can't find the key to that cabinet. We can't get in. Who knows why these things happen, but perhaps the Lord is reminding us of Sunday's gospel, where the people are knocking at the door. Open the door for us. Open the door for us. And the master from inside says, the Lord from inside says, I don't know where you come from. Remember that passage in the gospel? Sunday's gospel was to show us the importance of doing our part to get into the kingdom of heaven. The question at the beginning of Sunday's gospel was, are they few who will be saved? And Jesus says, strive to enter through the narrow gate. So he put the responsibility on each one of us. We have to strive. We are the ones who are outside trying to get in. And if we don't, if the Lord doesn't recognize us, so that he's not going to open the door for us. Now, the reason why that image is important is because we do have responsibility for our own salvation. The disadvantage of that image is that it might give us the idea that we are the only ones responsible for our salvation, as if we save ourselves, as if we are the masters. And that's not true. So today's gospel helps us recognize the real situation is that the Lord is the master and we are his servants. It's not we're the ones who are going to him, he's coming to us. Actually, it's both, but you can see the importance of having both of these perspectives. In today's gospel, we are servants in the Lord's household, and at some time we do not know, he comes to us and he can tell whether we have been faithful and prudent servants or whether we have been wicked servants. So whether we are going to the Lord and trying to get into his house, or the Lord is coming to us and he's going to enter into his house, the important thing is to recognize what we are supposed to do. If God is going to do what he does, will we do what we're supposed to do? The reason it's good to reflect on this is because we want to be sure to avoid the error of thinking that we're the center of the universe and that we're the master of our fate. That's not true. But we also want to avoid the idea that we don't have any responsibility at all, and it doesn't matter what we do, and God brings everyone into heaven, and so it doesn't matter. No, it does matter, because God has entrusted to us some responsibility for ourselves. The responsibility of servants. So it's right to see ourselves as people whom the master has put in charge of something. Maybe it's a big deal, maybe it's a little bit, but whatever God has entrusted to us, he's holding us responsible for it, for our life. Most of us have family, work, responsibilities in the community, and especially responsibility for our own spiritual life. Some are entrusted with more. Today's saint, Saint Louis the Ninth, he was a king of France. He had a lot. And what typically happens with people who have a lot of money and a lot of power, they end up using it for themselves. The reason why we honor this saint, Saint Louis, is because he, with all his power and money, used it for the kingdom of God. Extraordinary example of what secular power is for. It's for the good of the people, of course. It's good for the subjects. But in order to help them get into heaven, not just to have a peaceful country, but to have a holy country. Well, if we want to understand our place as servants of the Lord who is our master, we can learn a lot from St. Paul, a great servant of the Lord, a great apostle. And in today's first reading, we begin a reading of the first letter of Paul to the Corinthians. Now, the First letter to the Corinthians is one of his longest letters, and it's got a lot to it. We're going to be reading from it for several weeks in the daily masses, 1 Corinthians. But today's the beginning. And Paul follows the convention of letter writing at the time. It used to be that, well, actually, we still do this. You know, you identify the sender, you identify the recipient, and then you introduce the topic. We do this with email, no? Sender, email address, recipients, or recipients, email addresses, and then there's a subject line of, this is about, you know, fourth quarter profit loss report or something like that. So Paul says who he is, and then who he's writing to and what it's about. This is standard letter writing convention. If it was a person of great authority, he would be sure and say, I, King so-and-so, you know, ruler of the realm of such and such with such and such titles, writing from my capital city, I'm writing to you. If he's writing to someone lower, say to you, who are my, you know, commissioner of the treasury or governor of my province, and this is what I'm writing to you about. If a person is writing to an equal, well, he doesn't use all the flowery language, you might say, yes, I'm writing from this and this, and I appeal to you. And if you're writing to someone above you, well, then you say, this is who I am, and with all glorious titles, I'm appealing to you for this or that. Now, Paul uses this convention, but he does it in a way that is unique, because he really is intent on proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you took a close look at this first reading, he mentions Jesus Christ 9 times in 9 verses. So you get the point. What is this all about? It's not about Paul, and it's not about the Corinthians, and it's not about all the things he's going to mention in the letter only. The Corinthians addresses lots of different topics, problems in the community, factions, moral questions, community issues, spiritual gifts, and all kinds of stuff. And we'll be getting into some of those things in the next few weeks. But here at the beginning, Paul says, I'm Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. So I'm Paul, but the reason I'm writing to you is because Jesus Christ called me to be an apostle. And I'm writing to the church in Corinth, sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be holy. So I'm writing to you, not just because you're Corinthians, but because Jesus Christ has called you too and made you holy and calls you to be holy. And to everywhere, and to those everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. So he's mentioned Jesus Christ 3 times already in the first sentence. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. He mentions him again. This is what it's about. If you want to pay attention to me, Paul, it's because of Jesus Christ. If you want to know why I'm writing to, it's because of Jesus Christ. If you want to know what I'm writing about, it's the gospel of Jesus Christ. Then he, in this second part of the reading, he makes it clear that if you look back, it's all about Jesus Christ. If you look at the present, it's all about Jesus Christ, who's with you, who's calling you, and it's all about the future, as you await the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will come on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. By him, you were called to fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. You can't make it clearer what he's talking about. Whatever topic he's going to address, and he does address practical matters. Whatever issue, whatever responsibility, it's always through the lens or with the awareness that we are servants of Jesus Christ in his household and we want to be faithful and prudent servants. So that understanding of who we are before the Lord gives us an understanding of everything we do, everything that has happened, everything that's going on right now, and what we're looking forward to. So it's a very good lens or perspective for anything. All of us have practical things that we face. We have to catch up with our shopping or banking or whatever, social media, have to relate to the children or the grandchildren, or you have to, you know, take care of problems in the neighborhood. Fine. That's the part of the vocation. But it's, you do it because that's what God wants you to do. That's the responsibility God puts before you as his servant. And when he comes, and who knows, he could come today, will he find us doing the work that he entrusted to us? Or will he find us putting it off and saying, well, I'll do it tomorrow, or it doesn't make that much difference whether I do it or not, or will I do a sloppy job of it, or will I do it in a way that really is to my advantage rather than the advantage of those whom I serve? We have all kinds of ways of doing it wrong. So the scriptures are telling us, no, that's to forget who you are. It's to forget that you are a servant. It's to get into that error of thinking that you're the master. Just because we have responsibility, just because we have gifts, just because we have been entrusted with special roles of different kinds, doesn't make us the master. It just makes us servants with more responsibility. So with that understanding, we can fulfill our duty and be ready for the coming of the Lord. Blessed is that servant whom his master on his arrival finds doing what he was supposed to do. That's what we want. That's what we're striving for. And that's what the Lord is helping us do with these scriptures.